frauds, Hawaiian bikinis, and mannequins. My hair grew weighty with sweat as I brushed the mop behind my ears and sprinted the next mile. I ran alone on the cross-country path and felt the earth punch my shoes in the Texas sizzling sun. I needed endurance. I needed stamina. I needed to win. I ran track and field for a year during my mid-teens. I was too slow for sprinting, so the 800-meter run became my specialty. My school, one of the largest high schools in Texas, was renowned for its sports programs. In 1987, I won fifth in state. However, I hated running. The year I ran track was also the year my body decided to go from 4'10" to 5'5". I still have stretch marks to prove it. I grew 2 more inches the following year. Every day of the week, we would run in any weather, which in Texas is mostly blistering heat. 3 out of 5 of those days, I would puke after exiting the track and lie in bed that night massaging my legs, which seemed to be constantly in pain. I didn't want to be a quitter, though, so despite hating it every single day, I thought I'd at least try to stick it out until the end of the school year. We didn't have an abundance of 800-meter runners, and I always competed in the races against other schools. I lost, coming in last place in almost every meet. But my school was good, so good that as a team, we made the final cut to the state championships. So they let me tag along with them to compete. The day of the big event, the weather was a sweltering 32 degrees Celsius. I wore my red and white shorts and my sports top running ensemble. I had one race for the day, the 800-meter state championship. I ran, head held high, as the other runners, who were far superior in skill, left me literally in the dust. I came in 5th out of 5, but because it was a state championships, I left with a trophy and the elevated honor of being the 5th fastest in the 800-meter run in all of Texas. I still feel like a fraud when I think about that trophy. I know there are hundreds of people, probably anyone over the age of 7, who are faster than me. They just didn't compete in that race. It wasn't the last time I felt like a fraud. I had the same feeling after winning a beauty pageant. Just to explain, I'd won Miss North Texas 1989, competed in Miss Texas 1990, and fell in front of 2,000 people. But it was the beginning of the season, and I was about to move to attend a university in North Carolina, which is about a 4-hour plane ride away. So I asked the directors if I could participate in that state pageant, and they said yes. This pageant company was an under-18 competition and not Miss USA or Miss America, which are the most famous. In fact, there are at least 6 larger pageant companies for the younger age group. I was in one that prided itself on putting more emphasis on intelligence, top scholastic marks, and community service. Bottom line, however, is that a beauty pageant is never going to pick an intelligent, ugly girl for a winner. Otherwise, they wouldn't call it a beauty pageant. I had no idea how I won. But the worst part was that I knew nothing about North Carolina since I had only lived there for about 3 weeks. And now I was supposed to represent it. I had 1 month before the national competition in Honolulu, Hawaii, and very little time to prepare as a North Carolina representative. Those 30 days were a whirlwind of photo shoots, local news interviews, random community appearances, and taking loads of personal pictures of my quote-unquote home. A requirement for the national pageant was to have a scrapbook for the judges. Its purpose was to show off where you grew up in your home state and help them to get to know you better. "Hannah, you got my E-crew heels?" I asked my sister. "E-crew?" Hannah frowned. "I have your gray heels. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about, and Mom got a few more rolls of film for the camera." "E-crew, by the way, is a shade of light gray with a tinge of yellow. It's a fashion word, I said as I put on one last layer of hairspray. And I need at least 4 changes of clothes. 4? Why? We're just taking pictures. I know. But I need to actually look like I live here, so they need to be different outfits. I might even bring a coat. I stuck a piece of gum in my mouth. It makes it seem like we've been here a while. Coat? It's a heat wave out there. This is going to be a very long day. Hannah sighed and put her curly hair into a ponytail. I made a few mixtapes for the car because we're going to be driving at least 2 hours away, maybe even more. Not The Cure again. It gets so depressing. Whatever. I made a bubble and let it pop. It's my car and I'm in charge, so you just take the pictures, okay? Hannah and I got in my 2-door blue car and drove to the beach. We took photos of me and my rhinestone crown and banner on boardwalks, near boats, tall buildings, and anything else authentically North Carolinian. I filled my scrapbook with snapshots taken in a single day. In the same month, I had my Cinderella-styled evening gown refitted, lost more weight, got a tan in the sunbed salon, bought luggage to carry my crown and clothes, and had my false nails done at least several times. I'd researched as much as I could about my home state and my hometown so I could at least sound mildly authentic when asked. On the 9-hour flight to Honolulu, I wore high heels and a white one-piece rhinestone garnished jumpsuit. The pageant rules had advised that state queens had to wear their banners and crowns, which were 3 inches high, as much as possible, and I happily complied with it. And an hour before landing, I wore both. Everyone stared at me, and I marinated in the attention. Early the next day, I stood on the beach with the reigning 1989 National Queen, our toes digging into the exfoliating white sands and our hair whipping in the salty breeze. We all looked up to her, more because she had dated one of the singers from the boy band New Kids on the Block than because she carried the 1989 national title. We wore fragrant cherry red and pink lace around our necks and sported bikinis. She interviewed me spontaneously in front of the camera. I had no time to prepare. Miss North Carolina, I am sure you love your home state. Yeah, I love North Carolina. It's a great place to grow up, I said. I pushed back the highlighted golden tresses from my face. So, what did you do to prepare for these Hawaii competitions? Well, I bought sun cream, sunglasses, sun dresses, and bought stuff because it's so sunny. Huh, looks like you're really prepared here, the dark-haired queen replied. She paused for a moment to look at her card of notes. My other question is, what is the motto you live by? I barely had a second to ponder a motto. I didn't think I had one, so I made one up. I live life. Yeah, that's my motto. Live life. Okay, everyone, that is Miss North Carolina, and in just a few days, let's see if she's the next newly crowned national winner. Woohoo! We both turned to the camera, smiles in full bloom, and said, Aloha! Greetings from Hawaii! I still have the videotape, and I'm the only person who knows where it is. Moving on. You would have never known my mother and my sister came with me to help. I pretended for a week I didn't know them, even staying in a separate room across the hotel. My roommate and constant companion was Miss Ohio. She was shorter than me, had a little bit more fat on the thighs and her swimming costume, and I noted those details right away. She also used pads in her bra to beef things up and showed me techniques for using spray glue to keep ill-fitting clothes from suffering a wardrobe malfunction. Many of our late-night conversations consisted of fault-finding in others and the constant obligatory tennis match of, Oh, you're going to win. No, you will, No, really, you're so pretty. You've got what it takes. You think so? Of course. But you're so gorgeous. I think you're going to win. Neither of us really meant it. The first few days were filled with rehearsals for the televised final and the sightseeing as a group. When I say group, it meant all state representatives dressed to the hilt, featuring our blinding rhinestone headpieces. We created quite a stir. We were constantly asked for autographs, and we took pictures and video footage everywhere. Catamarans, war memorials, volcanic craters, and hula dance luaus, just to name a few. Finally, it was time for the interview. I wore white linen. I had bought the suit because I thought it conveyed innocence. It was simple, but I thought elegant. I would get 3 questions during the stage interview, and I had rehearsed every possible angle. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Miss North Carolina. She loves animals, runs track and field, and enjoys gourmet cooking. The announcer turned to me with his list of questions. Miss North Carolina, if you were given a large sum of money, what would you do with it? I would definitely invest. Stocks, bonds, maybe some high risk, but also play it safe. It wasn't a real answer. I knew I probably would have followed the example of my aerobics instructor at the time, because she had just inherited a large sum. She bought a red sports car, got liposuction, and a chest enhancement. But that wouldn't go over too well, so I stuck with investing. Here's the next question. What do you plan to do after university? Easy one. I had researched this and ruled things out I didn't want to pursue, such as math or most sciences. I would like to be a business psychologist and work with employer and employee relations to try to improve the company. I thought this sounded intelligent, even though I had no intention of making this my course of study. All right, last one. When you go back to North Carolina, what do you want to do this year as reigning queen? Help the children. Yes, children need to be believed in. I want to do that. Believe in children. You know, help them. Okay, thank you, Miss North Carolina, for your insightful answers. Let us now go to Miss South Carolina. The MC gave a forced grin and waved me on to the exit. I stood in place a moment longer and gave another intentional, broad smile to the judges before I left the stage. As I went through the competition, it became apparent that Miss Texas, the one who had beaten me a few months prior when I had fallen on stage, was more beautiful, more talented, and an obvious choice for the judges. We all started to loathe her. The final night, adorned in my Cinderella dress, I wore my fake nails, fake tan, fake boobs, and fake smile, representing my fake home state. I made it to the top 10. Miss Texas won. After the event, we had a royal ball. Officers had been invited from the local naval base to be our dance partners, and we all felt like queens as we whirled around the dance floor by men in uniform. One by one, we took off the high-heeled shoes from our throbbing feet, removed the crowns from our aching heads, and partied till midnight, our nightly curfew. I only stayed in North Carolina until January. A whole 9 months of living in my quote-unquote home state. I even had to fly in from Texas because I had changed universities to give my crown to the successor at the 91 state pageant. As I recall my seasons in the pageant world, I feel a mixture of regret, sorrow, but a bit of gratitude. Numerous acquaintances I made went on to win their state titles in Miss America or Miss USA, and it was odd to see girls that I had eaten meals with or even scanned with jealousy on national television. The year earlier, when I was Miss North Texas, I had a job as a freeze model in a large department store. It was a peculiar sales tactic to act as a human mannequin modeling clothing, but the job provided a little extra income. I don't tend to put that job on my CV. It was a serious no-brainer. Well, it did take a little work to hold still for minutes without scratching an itchy nose. I would put on my chosen outfit, a brand the store was trying to sell, and sit for an hour at a time on a platform in the place of a mannequin. On one occasion, I sat, my arms leaning back as my hair draped over part of the stage. A teenage boy and his friends saw my flaxen mane from behind. "Dude, look at this mannequin's hair!" He proceeded to stroke the ends. "Come feel this, it's so soft!" I sat as still as I could for about 30 seconds and then slowly turned my head. "Ah! She moved! She moved!" I started laughing. Hard. I couldn't even stop. The guys ran off, petrified, and I had to go take a break just to get myself back together again. Because when you smash out of your fake shell, it scares people.